All right, let me talk about something else. Let me talk about worship, and then we'll close with this. What time is it? And because I want us to be informed to people. By the way, it's good to be here. The last 6 weeks, I've been at three different churches, Living Word Church in Cleveland, Christian Growth Fellowship in Augusta. And then last week, we were in Charlotte for a wedding, and me and my mom and my family were able to work in, going to the early service at Morningstar Church, Rick Joyner. When I walked in this morning, I said, man, it is good to be here. And we are very unique. Now, it's important to understand, we need to regularly go out and come back in. It's good when I'm gone. Because I carry the DNA that I have to somewhere else, or sometimes I'm there to pick up a DNA and bring it back. Nobody is an island unto itself. The kingdom of God is like a circle. And we are a circle within that circle. And you need to move out of your circle sometimes to find out what God's doing to bring us in. As it says, we're a body, some are arms, some are legs, whatever. You got to find the joint that you're next to. As a church, we got to find the joint that we're next to. You're seeing an increase here of more guest speakers coming in. You're seeing an increase of me and other people eventually go out. Why? Because as you are in connection with each other, churches need to be in connection with each other. I've been to Kansas City. I've been to Charlotte multiple times. I've been to Atlanta to multiple conferences. I've been to conferences outside of the country in Bogota. Much of what we are is because of things God gave me here or there. Now, there's a mentality, I'm just going to be blunt here, in Northwest East Tennessee, that if it's of God, He wants me to do it, He'll bring it here. No, it says that the matters, in Psalm says, the matters of the king are like a treasure that I hide. He who seeks them will find them. Some he'll bring here and some he won't. So I was wrestling through this because there is a mentality of this area to be real closed off. And have y'all ever noticed that? The Lord told me, He said, that's because the clannish feud mentality comes into the church. You ever heard these stories about East Tennessee and the mountains, and they're off by themselves, and they got these old clans? That is not a good behavior. You know, we're connected all over the place, and so, so that's a side point. But in those, one of the major characteristics of our church, if we had to put, there's so much I could say. Worship. We went an hour and 15 minutes or so this morning in worship. I didn't stop it. That is who we are. That is our identity. And I'm telling you, none of the churches I've been... Well, Christian Growth Fellowship, they're ordained under us, and I guess they're very similar. But our way is not better than anybody else's way, but as a spiritual father in the house, I want to give you, this is your identity as worship. This is your DNA. That doesn't mean that that's all we do, but... Beyond me, it wasn't a plan. God said, He calls me to be sent to here. Many of you sent from here. That's what apostle means, sent one. It was a secular word. When apostle, they first wrote about it in the Gospels, they didn't have any idea. It came from the Roman government. What happened is the Roman government started conquering lands. They would withdraw. They'd go back years later. Those lands were back like they were. In terms of their culture and their language. They said, this isn't working. So when they conquered a land, they sent a word in the Greek, it was apostolos. They sent an apostolos, similar to ambassadors today, and said, your job is to change their culture to our culture and teach them Latin. We're not just conquering, we want the Roman / Greek way into them. And so apostles, if they're doing their job right, is not to make it the most popular group in town. If that happens, it happens. It's to bring the culture of the kingdom that He's already won into this area. That's why most apostles in a government or in a place are sent from the outside, so they will not be influenced by the way things normally are. Does that make sense? Because we all grow up thinking a certain way. And so, as I look back, a big picture, do you realize how bizarre it is in this real traditional area, although it's changed a lot in 20 years, to have a worship service like what we just did? This is not unusual other places. It may be the only time you've seen it here, but it's not unusual in other places. But to have it here is radical. And It's just out there. Let's just be honest. It's out there. And so I'm not discounting it, but I'm saying God is doing something unique in a very traditional area by bringing such a contrast. That's why we want to get CDs and other things. Because this is how you break a religious spirit. A religious spirit is going through the same thing week after week. It doesn't really mean anything. It's all external and rules I follow. It doesn't come out of life from the inside. If I do X, Y, Z, I'm going to be all right with God. Okay? You know what the opposite of that is? Not teaching. Teaching can help. It is passion. The only way to break a religious spirit is passion. Turn with me over to, or you can listen, Luke 7. Let me give you an example of passion. And you're going to see, okay, we're weird, but we're not the only people. Now, this is Luke 7, verse 36. They're at a, I'll just read it. Now, one of the Pharisees meant the religious people that followed totally by rules that lived externally. When I say religious, I don't mean, what I mean by that is if I follow all these rules, I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
Well, you can follow all the rules and still be dead on the inside.
Yeah.
Believe me, if you know my testimony, you'll know that. 36. Now, one of the Pharisees, they were typical of this religious system, invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Now, when I was in Istanbul many years ago, great place to go. Very weird, though. 5 o'clock every morning. I was in downtown Istanbul. It's one of the coolest cities I've ever been in, but it's a Muslim place. At 5 o'clock every morning or whenever the sun came up, you hear these eerie cries of all these people calling from the top of the mosque for their first prayer of the day. It's very weird. But it's a great city. But anyway, went there, and there was many restaurants where you reclined. There was no seats. They still had that Middle Eastern way. I've gotten too fat. I can't hardly get down and get up. I'd have to be more skinnier to live this type of lifestyle. But anyway, that's what they did. And verse 37, when a woman who had lived a sinful life, in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. Here she's a sinner. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, this is written about in all four Gospels. We don't have time to go into it, but one way to store wealth back then was in perfume. From the best we could tell, this was a year's worth of wages. See, they didn't have sophisticated banks like what we did. They had to put them in physical assets. Gold, silver, animals. You know, you didn't go online to Wells Fargo and transfer money from some 401k account in. Okay, so this was one way of keeping your riches. So it represented roughly a year's worth of salary. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood before him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. So she's crying so much, her tears are falling on his feet. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them.
Wow.
Now, we're going to keep reading, but no matter how passionate I've gotten, I've never been this passionate. Some of the other translations, well, let's just keep reading. We'll read it out of this one. You can read them out of all four. It's slightly different angles written by different people. When the Pharisee, the religious folk who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, see, he's challenging that he's even God. He's going to the very core of it. He's challenging that he's God. He would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Now, we're not going to go on. You can go back and read it. Of course he knew she was a sinner. To him who much has been forgiven. The good news is no matter where you've been as a sinner, you can go into his presence with humility. Passion brings you in. Now, let me share something with you. I'm 54. I've been walking with God for over 40 years, since I was 13. Much of my first 20 years of my Christian life, I was a Pharisee. Because when people did something more passionate with Jesus than where I was at, I would judge them. Hindsight, I was a Pharisee. They were just more intimate than I was. And I was embarrassed by the intimacy.
Yeah.
Now, I know there was somebody, there's a friend of mine came here about a year ago. It freaked them out, the freedom that was here. And I understand, it freaks me out sometimes.
Wow.
Okay, I'm not just, this is hard. It's hard. If Jesus was here and somebody came and poured perfume on his feet and wiped him up as a male, as an American, as a Southern boy, I would battle with embarrassment. Would you?
No. Oh, yeah. I'd be right there next to her.
So good. That's good. But I'm just telling you where I'm at. But just because I'm embarrassed doesn't mean I'm right. It means that I'm self-conscious. And to be the best worshiper I need to be Jesus conscious.
Yeah.
And many times on Sunday morning, I know some people could get weird and get crazy and go off and do something weird. But by and large, we're moving to a place and we're wanting to go to a place where I'm not conscious about myself. Because you usually can tell when people's doing it that's trying to bring attention to themselves. And I'll go stop them if they're doing that.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they're just pouring perfume and tears.
Oh.
And I'm not there yet, and I'm self-conscious.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stop that, because then I'm going to be rebuked by Jesus.
Yep.
Usually, this doesn't have to be, the more well-trained you are like a Pharisee, either in intellectual pursuits, like I have an engineering degree, or spiritual things, I've read more books than you can imagine, listened to more tapes, got an honorary doctorate in divinity and these kind of things. Usually those things can work against you because that means your mind leads instead of your spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually it doesn't have to be. The more well-trained you are, the more proper you become. The more self-conscious you become and you try to analyze with your mind. We need to be well-trained, but we also need to figure out how to balance this passion. The identity of our... our DNA of RCA is passion. In our teaching, in the prophetic, in the worship. Why? Because the absence... We're not emotional people. We're not led by emotions, but we need to have emotions. Religious spirits hate emotions. That's why most churches are quiet as a mouse. There is a time for quietness, but if it's quietness all the time, I guarantee you there's not much passion. How many of you that are married is going to make love to your wife or your husband without making a sound? All right, we'll endure this for 20 minutes.
That's funny.
Noise. Somebody said it earlier about being noisy. I don't remember one of the words. Noise means life. Now, noise for the sake of noise, we're not talking about that. That's chaos.
Yeah.
But if you're dead, believe me, you're pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Now, there are times for quietness because we need to reflect. We need to be meditative. There are times for that. But most of the time, you're just going to be noisy.
Yeah.
Getting up and getting dressed, you're noisy. Walking around, you're noisy. Slipping your cereal, you're noisy.
Yeah,
it means life.
Yeah.
Life also means movement. Part of the apostolic calling, we're an apostolic church because we have apostolic understanding and influence. That means an apostle is running this thing. There is movement. That's why I can't stay here week in, week out for 6 months. I will die. I have to move. And a lot of times you see when I come back, you'll see the movement picks up. Well, that's good.
Yes, sir.
Now, our tendency is we just want to stay here, get in a little rut, et cetera, et cetera. But the kingdom of God demands it's ever expanding. So, an apostolic church has times of quiet, but most times it's noisy. I've had people come in here and go, it's chaotic. And I go, yeah, it is. But you ought to come to my house with three teenagers. It is chaotic. And I may be adding to that chaos. Come when they leave and it's going to be quiet, but there ain't going to be nobody there.
That's right.
You got my point? We get in this weird religious mindset that's prim and proper. That is a religious spirit, passion, overrules it. And there's guidance there. So this is who we are. God, that's enough. Amen. Any other? Boy, we went a lot longer than I thought I would. Good thing I didn't do a whole message. Why did I skip my message today? Any Q&A on that? So I just want to explain where we are. I don't apologize for who we are, but I do try to explain who we are, because I've never seen it any other place to this extent, although Augusta, Georgia is pretty close. I've seen it at Morningstar at different times. But this is who we are. Why? He is raising up a group of people that are passionate about Him as He is about you. We, in religion, we form this little barrier you can only get so close. And He's over there. Come on over here. I'm going to give you a bear hug.
Yeah.
I want to give you a bear hug, buddy. I didn't save you for you just to be 48 feet off. Does that make sense? You were 48 feet off in the Old Testament when I was hidden in the Holy of Holies and couldn't get out. I'm tired of it. I want out, baby.
Yeah.
And He's out, and it's hard to put Him back in the box. Usually if you try to put Him back in the box and be still and be quiet and don't move, He leaves. He goes, I ain't staying in this box. When you want me, I'll come back.
Yes.
Problem is, a lot of times we don't even know when He's left, because we're so used to being led by the external. And I'm telling you, it's hard being the worship people here. It's not easy, is it? It's a lot easier to just do your 4 songs, 5-second break between them, just like on the CDs, and move on to the next one. But when you actually flow in it, like this morning, was that fun?
Yeah.
Maybe not while you're in it, but afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Would you trade it for anything else? No. But see, that's how our life is to be all the time.
Yes.
Let's stand. Yahweh, a blessing. Yahweh, very patient. An hour and 15-minute worship. 50-minute Q&A session here.